The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he highly valued and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite TV shows has started up again, Game of Thrones. Of course, viewing it this year brings its own unique challenges since we have John, our 11-month-old, who always on Saturday nights and Sunday nights, go figure, always chooses with those nights to mess with his sleep schedule. But I digress. Now, one part I've always found interesting of the world that George R.R. Martin built, first in his books and now the producers are building in their TV show, is the religions of this world. Religion is an important factor in the show and in the books, and as somebody who has studied religion, I find this really fun and interesting. There are many different religions in the world of Game of Thrones. There are the Seven, which is kind of like the Trinitarian God and a take on Catholicism, except instead of the Trinity, there are seven different gods, or they're kind of one, and the High Sparrow is like a Pope figure. You have the Lord of Light, which has similar imagery to stuff that we've heard in the Bible, where Jesus claims, "I am the light." And the Lord of Light is expected to battle this great darkness that is coming, which sounds all great and very similar until you realize part of the religion is blood sacrifice and even human sacrifice at times. Oh, yeah, that's definitely not like Christianity. And then there are what are known as the old gods, who don't really have any rituals around them, but are connected to sacred trees with faces carved in them. There's the drowned god that has this ritual and language very similar to baptism, except for they actually do drown people and help them come back to life, which is never a good idea. We don't do that in baptism. We also have the many-faced god that encompasses all the different gods in that world and tries to keep the scales balanced, a life for a life, with specially trained assassins to bring balance when needed. Now, I've always appreciated how well thought out everything is and the author's commentary on modern religions, because it's really obvious that he borrowed different aspects from each of them. It's also interesting trying to parse out what salvation or being saved or the good news looks like with each different religion. With the Seven, it seems like it requires a certain sort of piety, also similar to Catholicism. Follow the rules, worship the gods, and you receive life in one of the seven heavens. For the Lord of Light, salvation will actually come from a deliverer, a chosen one, or a messiah, as we say, of sorts. The old gods simply have the reminder that the gods are always watching, whatever that means for you and how you live your life. Through the drowned god, one must be returned to the sea after death or through drowning, in order to feast with the gods in the halls of the deep, in the ocean. And for the many-faced god, it's all about balance, which is very similar to karma. What goes around comes around, in terms of death especially. Now, I thought about all of this because in the beginning of Paul's letter to the Galatians, he speaks of different gospels, or a different gospel, a false gospel, a perversion of the gospel. And that got me thinking of these gospels from all these different religions in Game of Thrones. What are different examples of gospels, or good news from different religions? And what are examples of good news that pull us away from the good news of Jesus Christ? Now, gospel, the Greek word, evangelion, which is how we get evangelical, means good news. Specifically, it is the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't often attach this term, good news, with things other than good news, like good news so-and-so is pregnant, or good news so-and-so is having a baby, or good news so-and-so got a promotion, or the good news that so-and-so is getting married. But, and these are all good news, these are all good things, but there are plenty of false gospels, false good news out there, which is where we find Paul when Paul is first writing this letter. And these false gospels, this good news from other places, isn't just from other religions. Often, false gospels, false good news is peddled from everyday things. There is the religion of nature, for instance. Not pure paganism, which exists, but there is a religion that connects all things spiritual with nature. And there are a couple of different ways that good news manifests itself in there. First is the good news that I see God in the sunset or hear God in the wind, which is all nice and fine. But it also can get connected with a piety. Like the good news that if we somehow save nature, we will save a part of ourselves and save the world and save this God in a sense. There is the religion of work ethic. Work hard at whatever you do, whether you're a high-stakes career, a stay-at-home parent, or somewhere in between. Work hard, and that will be your salvation. The good news is if you work hard enough, that you will somehow make your life matter. That will all be worth it. There is the religion of sports. Whether you play or you watch, there are plenty of promises of good news that come with this. There is the good news that if you choose the right team to cheer for and they're winners, then you're a winner by association. Or the good news that if you play and you're good and you become famous and revered like those players that you cheer for, except for when you lose, of course. There is the religion of knowledge and expertise. Learn more, become smarter, become an expert in your field, and the good news is you soak up enough info, enough research, enough wisdom. You will know it all. You will be above your peers, and you will be wise in knowledge and in skill. Never mind, the fields are constantly shifting. There is the religion of food. Now, if you believe religious piety is a thing of the past, listen to the way that people talk about food. There are proper ways of eating. And we no longer cleanse our souls with confession and worship. We now cleanse our bodies with juice and diets and eating local and organic with lots of antioxidants. Not that food is bad. I love food. But there is the gospel, the promise out there that if you eat the right kinds of things, you will live longer, be healthier, save yourself, and maybe even save the environment in the process. There is the religion of social media. If you post the right kind of pictures, think of pithy enough tweets, put the right posts on your Tumblr blog, and write the perfect Facebook status, then you'll be famous and well-liked. You'll make it. Your worth is however many followers, friends, likes, and retweets you have. It's the promise, the gospel of fame, of being known and loved through the internet. There is the religion of social justice. Crusade for the right cause, the right group of people, use the right hashtag to bring justice to the world, and we will somehow save ourselves from the sins of people, not ourselves, the other people, that have allowed these unjust systems to take over. The gospel, the good news, is that if you do all the right things and choose the right causes and do it the right way, then we can save the world from itself. There is the religion of politics, and oh, this is one we know so well right now. If you vote for the right candidate, it will save the world. If the wrong one is voted in, well, it all will come crashing down. The gospel is all or nothing here. The good news will either be your candidate is elected and can save us all, or the wrong one will be elected and, well, abandon ship, abandon ship. Now, before you get ready to send me any angry emails the next day, let me be clear. None of these things are bad in and of themselves. Nature, working hard, sports, food, social media, knowledge, social justice, and politics can all be good things, or in fact, all gifts from God, in a sense that they sustain us, they help us love and serve our neighbors, and keep good order in the world. However, none of them are the gospel. None of them are the good news of Jesus Christ. If it makes you feel better, we are not the first ones to get confused about what the gospel really is. After his normal greeting in Galatians, Paul lays into them. He writes, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, and so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed." So, what had happened in Galatia to get them into such hot water? They started believing that something other than Jesus could save them, much like we do with the modern-day trap of false gospels and religions. In this case, it was the matter of keeping the old Jewish law, specifically circumcision. The question at hand was, in order to be a Christian, did you need to be circumcised? In order to be counted as one of God's people, did you still need to be circumcised? This was a line that was drawn between the Jews who had been circumcising for years because this was the sign of the covenant given to them by God. So this was a big deal to them. And then you have the Gentiles, basically everyone else on the other side. And many believed that in order to be a Christian, you needed Jesus plus circumcision. In other words, it was something you did that ultimately would save you. Paul was not having it. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you are saved, that you are made a part of God's family, does not have any strings. There are no new laws to follow. There are no new religions to adhere to. There is no saving yourself by other means, whether it's through nature, working harder, eating the right things, playing the right sports, getting more likes or friends or social media, being smarter than everyone, working on justice for all, voting for the right candidate, or being circumcised. There is just Christ, and Christ crucified on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, in order to save you from yourself and all these self-imposed laws that never really save us in the end. This is the gospel. This is the good news. There are no additives, no pluses, no extras, no, but what about thises? There's just Jesus. And it's scary. The apostles in the early church found it scary. It was radically different than anything they had encountered before. It's radically different than Judaism or the other religions of the day. And it's radically different for us when we're constantly being bombarded with messages from the other religions of the day to do more, be stronger, be faster, be smarter, be more loving, and be better. But this is the gospel. As Paul writes in the opening of the letter, very strategically, I might add, he's trying to make his point early and often. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free. This is the true gospel. This is what it means to be a Christian. We have been forgiven and set free by Jesus. This is what saves us. And this means we can interact with all these other religions in a completely different way. Because we have security in Christ, we can interact knowing that while they can be a means of doing good in the world, of doing good for the neighbor and for the world and for ourselves, they are only that. We are free to not worry about all their demands. We are free to not worry about how we can save ourselves or save others or save the world. God has already done that for us through Jesus Christ. The main thing is being taken care of. We are forgiven. We are made God's children. We are loved. We are saved. All through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.